1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And the title of the sermon this morning is Born Again. Born Again. And you'll see it in the text. You'll see where that comes from. Now, if you're a visitor and you are the kind of person that likes to learn by having like a guided notes, I do have those down here. I should have mentioned that earlier. I do apologize. But anyways, if you come back, and we'd love to have you back, anybody, I try almost every week. Sometimes I have printer issues or whatever. Getting all those things working out. But anyways, I do have my guided notes here for you, if anybody. In fact, if you'd like one now, I'm sure, Nolan or Nathaniel wouldn't mind to pass it out, or Brother Sean here. If anybody would like one, you can raise your hand. Brother Sean is willing to pass it out. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I meant to mention that at the beginning. So 1 Peter chapter 1, while he's passing it out, I'll recap just for a moment here. What we preached out of chapter 1 last week was Mother's Day. So 2 weeks ago, we preached about a lively hope in our risen Savior. Amen. And then we preached about, verse 5 says, we're kept by the power of God. So we were reminded of eternal security, that we're kept by the power of God, not by doing it ourselves. Praise the Lord for that. And then we talked about trials and temptations and testing that all Christians will go through. Just a part of just living life there. Need a pen there, sweetheart? There you go. All righty. So we're in 1 Peter chapter 1. It's a little bit longer of a reading, but I hope you'll bear with me. It's verses 10 to 25. I'd like to finish out the chapter because I like to preach through the chapters here. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse number 10. It says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Three more verses here. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for everyone that took the time out to be in your house today, Lord, to hear us sing and praise you, Lord, and to hear the preaching of your word. Lord, I pray a special blessing upon each family. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to baptize two young men today. Lord, what a blessing it is to know that they've accepted you as their Lord and Savior, and today they're following you in believer's baptism. Lord, they want to identify as a follower of Christ. Lord, we thank you for that. We pray that you'll speak to hearts today as only you can. And Father, if there's anybody here today that's not saved, Lord, I pray that you'll let them know their need for a Savior. and help them to understand they can have salvation and be born again. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So here in our text, Peter, of course, is the writer of our text. That's why it's 1 Peter. Peter reminds us that the Messiah who suffered and died and the gospel that we preach was actually prophesied in the Old Testament. Now, they didn't fully understand the things that they were telling us and prophesying about, but they did prophesy about it. And he says, but today, meaning when they were alive, the apostles, we're experiencing it and we understand it. And of course, in our age today, we fully understand the grace of God. Then he reminds us that we belong to Christ, and so we're supposed to act like it. Amen? And then finally, Peter closes out the chapter reminding us that we are born again by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, three things I want you to notice this morning. First of all, I want you to notice the glory of grace. The glory of grace. Second of all, I want you to notice a testimony that's good. A testimony that's good. And then thirdly, the Word of God. Not the Word of man, but the Word of God. But first of all, I want you to notice the glory of grace. Look at verse number 10 again for me, please. It says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. So the Old Testament prophets prophesied of the grace of God that should come unto you. Now look at verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed, meaning the Old Testament prophets, that not unto themselves, not to them, but unto us, meaning the apostles, but also us in the future, unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you. Now I want you to notice at the bottom where it says, which things the angels desire to look into. You say, what are you getting at, Pastor Kurt? Church, here's what I'm getting at. The word grace is what they preached about, and the word grace means unmerited favor. It means that you don't deserve it. It means that you are actually deserving of dying and going to hell to burn for eternity. You say, well, that's not very nice. That's the fact of the matter. You can tell me, hey, Kurt, you eat too much sugary food. You're a little overweight. That's not very nice, but it's the truth. Amen, right? The point is, I'm not trying to offend you, but I'm trying to tell you the truth of the Word of God. The Bible says there is an eternal burning hell that you will live in for eternity unless you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that's grace. We're talking about this morning the glory of grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You see, there are so many religions out there today that say, you've all heard the saying, other religions say, do, and Christianity says, done. You see, you need to understand, you can't work your way to heaven. You can't be a good enough person to get to heaven. You need the grace of God in order to have eternal life. The glory of grace. And listen, Christian, if that don't get you excited, you don't understand the concept of that you don't deserve it. Amen? You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. I'm not up here saying, oh, I'm this great person that deserves the grace of God. You bunch of heathen, wicked sinners out there. No, I'm saying I don't deserve it. The glory of grace, praise the Lord, is the fact that you don't deserve it, and yet he offers it anyways. Offers it anyways. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Amen. Christianity and Christ makes it clear. You can't work your way to heaven. It is through the grace of God that you can have salvation. Grace is so amazing too that, have you ever looked at that verse and wondered in verse number 12 again, where it says, which things the angels desire to look into? Does that make you wonder at all? Does anybody in here ever wonder about the angels of God? That's kind of interesting to think about, right? You're like, oh man, I can just imagine what heaven would be like. What angels would be like. Does that stir your mind a little bit? And it says, the angels can't even understand the grace of God. That's how great and amazing that it is. Christians, we need to understand the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 and 6 says this. It says, "Whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ," notice this, "which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men." It wasn't made known unto them. Which was, and then I lost my spot here, "unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." Here's what I'm getting at. The Old Testament say they didn't understand grace. It was too much for them to fathom. They had to go by this system of law. They had to make these sacrifices. They had to offer these, all they had to go through all these rituals. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful, praise the Lord, that I live in the age of grace, that I don't have to do those things. I can't even get Bruce to follow 3 or 4 rules that I got for him. Man, I mean, can you imagine him trying to follow all the laws of the Old Testament? He would utterly fall on his face and fail. As we all would, amen? As we all would. Bruce would fail worse than all of you, but we would all fail, right? We would all fail. And my point is, we need to understand the amazing quality of grace given to us. We're talking about the glory of grace. 2 Timothy, if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'd like you to read that. So if you're in 1 Peter, where we're reading, go to your left just a little bit, to 2 Timothy. You'll pass a few books that are small, and you'll come to 2 Timothy. And it's small as well, so don't turn too many pages there. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to read verse 9 and 10. Look at verse 9. It says, talking about God, "who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Christian, if that doesn't get you excited, you're not awake this morning. We're talking about the glory of the grace of God that gives you salvation. You need to understand that you are utterly incapable of making it to heaven on your own. We are deserving of dying and going to hell, but Jesus Christ died on the cross to take the penalty for our sins so that we can have eternal life in heaven with Him. That is the grace of God. That should get you excited this morning, Christian. And then we're talking about the angels. I think this is interesting. Luke chapter 15, verse 7 says this, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." That's saying the angels and everybody in heaven, the angels, God, you know, everybody up there, there's more joy over one person that accepts the grace of God than over 99 who don't need it, which that's kind of a sarcastic way of saying they just don't know they need it. Amen. Christian, can we never, never get over the glory of the grace of God? Amen. Can we just remind ourselves how amazing it is? Can we remind ourselves how blessed we are? How just lucky that we are to live in the age of grace that Jesus Christ freely offers salvation to each and every one of us. Amen. Let's get encouraged by that. And you see, Christian, grace isn't just to forgive you of your past sins. Grace is also to empower you to live a daily life for Christ. And that leads me to my second point, a testimony that's good. Look at verse 14 for me, please. Look at verse 14. I have to turn back to 1 Peter. We're back in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. It says this, "as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." I hear all parents, "as obedient children." What's that like? I'm just kidding. But the whole point is, we're supposed to have a testimony that's good. And what does it say? As obedient children. You see, Christian, the precious blood of Jesus Christ wasn't shed on the cross for you to give you salvation so that you could just then turn around and live however you want to live. You say, well, that's not putting rules and regulations on me. No, no, no. Let me make it very clear. There are no rules or regulations on how to get to heaven other than accepting the grace of God. I want to make that very clear. Well, you're saying I can't get to heaven unless I live a certain life? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that after you receive the grace of God, which gives you salvation, it doesn't stop there, Christian. It doesn't stop there. He says, as obedient children. Well, that's not very. I want to live however I want. Well, you can. If you're truly saved, you can. You can still go to heaven. But you're going to stand before God and you're going to be ashamed. He says a testimony. That's good. That's what we're talking about, Christian. We are a prized, purchased possession of His. Amen? Well, that's my body. I can do whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. I'm a grown man. I can make... Yeah, well, you can. But if you're a Christian, that's not the attitude you should have. Don't throw something at me. Let's read what the Bible says. Oh, Pastor Kurt, why you say... Well, let's read what the Bible says. Look at verse 18. Look at verse 18. It says, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But look at verse 19. But it's saying you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. You were redeemed, Christian. You know what that word redeemed means? That means you were bought back. You were in control of the devil who was sending you to hell, and Jesus purchased you and brought you back from the pit of hell to give you salvation so you can go to heaven. You know what that means? That means you're His. You're not your own. You say, well, that kind of sounds like a Bible verse, doesn't it? Yes, it does. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Let's read that one. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll just quote it here for you, or read from my paper here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 says this. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? What? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You say, man, Pastor Kerr, you're awfully judgmental today. No, I love everybody, and I'm not here to judge anybody. Lord knows I have made enough mistakes in my life to then point out yours, okay? I have enough time to point out my own mistakes. I don't have enough time to go point out yours, all right? So I'm not judging you, but what I am telling you is that if your attitude is, it's my body, I'll look however I want, I'll do whatever I want, I'll speak however I want, I'll listen to whatever music I want to listen to, I'll watch whatever the heck I want to watch on TV or movies that I want to do because it's my body, God says it's not. God says it's His. He said He bought you. So we're supposed to have a testimony that's good. Amen? You say, well, what's the point? If I'm going to heaven, why does it matter? Well, look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Matthew 5, 16. It's in your notes there. It says, let your light so shine before men. And that means let your good works be seen, right? So that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, God designed for us Christians to live in a way that people see our lives and it points you to Him. You say, well, I don't care. I'm saved. I'm going to go to heaven. I don't care. That's fine, but you are missing out on huge blessings in your life. You're missing out on a lot of joy that you can have in your life if you choose to live for the Lord. You say, man, Pastor, I just can't figure out why I'm so miserable in life all the time. Well, maybe that's why. Amen? Maybe that's why. Why am I so miserable all the time? Why do I have this just empty feeling in my life all the time? I don't understand. Maybe that's why. Because you're purchased by Him, and He says, live for me, and He has a path. Ephesians says, good works, which He hath before ordained, that we should walk in them, and you're not fulfilling those things. That's why you feel empty. That's why you feel like, why do I feel like I have no purpose in my life? That's why. I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to challenge you, and I'm here to try and help you and encourage you to do those things. Amen? Now look at verse 13 in our text. Look at verse 13. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, gird up the loins of your mind. You might be like, what does that mean? All right? Well, it's kind of like saying, roll up your sleeves. It's kind of like saying, hey, this is going to be some hard work. Now, if you want to know why it says it that way, back in the old times, they would wear like the long robes, okay? And when they would do something that required more physical action, they would, you know, take their robes and like gird them up closer, like tie them. Think of like a bathrobe, I guess. I don't know, whatever. Where you like tie it to where you can then run or do something like that. That's what that's describing. So to apply it to us today, it's kind of like saying, hey, roll up your sleeves. It's time to get to work for the Lord. Amen. Listen, Christian, I want you to understand, it's not an easy life to live for the Lord. Why? Because we're fallen, sinful humans living in a fallen, sinful world. But we have to live godly, right? That's not easy. So you need to roll up your sleeves, Christian, and you need to get to work. Now, are you going to be perfect? Are you going to never mess up? No, you're going to mess up. I mess up. Every one of us are going to mess up. But it's like, let's take sport. Okay, let's take math for an example. You know, my daughter Alexa is in the third grade, and this year she's worked on her times tables a lot. You know, her, you know, 2 times 5. You know, the 2 times tables, the 3 times, all the way up to 12. Okay. Well, at the beginning of the year, obviously she didn't know it, and then through the year she's learning. Now, is she? You could quiz her, and she's not going to get 100%. Well, maybe, I don't know. Maybe 100%. Okay, she says yeah. She's probably not, she may get 100, right? But, okay, quiz Malachi. No. They might not get 100%, but let me ask you this. If Alexa was no better at her times tables now as when she started third grade, would you say that's a problem? Yeah. You'd be like, are you going to blame the teacher or are you going to blame Alexa? Or maybe her parents, right? But you're going to blame Alexa like, yeah, she's not putting an effort into it. You're not going to blame the teacher, you're going to blame the student. So let me ask you this, Christian. You've been saved. I'm not asking you to be perfect. I'm not asking you to get 100% on your math test. But I'm saying if you're not any closer to God than you were like when you got saved, is it God the problem or are you the problem? Amen? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just asking. I'm just asking a question to get you to evaluate your own self. The Bible says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. I'm not trying to make you mad. I'm trying to encourage you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says this. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, notice this, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, God wouldn't tell us to do that if it wasn't possible. Now, we're going to mess up. I understand that. But again, are you using that as an excuse to not try at all? Well, I just don't know math. I'm not even going to try. I don't even know 2 times 5. You're not trying. Amen. You're not trying. Are you going to be perfect? No, but Christian, you should be trying. Roll up your sleeves and get to work. Just like any relationship. You can't be married. You know, CJ and I have been married for 14, this summer will be 14 years. I said 15 before, and I'm sorry. I was off a year, right? But anyways, this summer will be 14 years that we've been married. Oh, we were great when we got married. We had a great relationship. If I stopped working on our relationship the day we got married, would we still have a good relationship today? No. You have to work at it, and you know that. Yeah, you got to keep working at it. You can't have a good relationship with your son or daughter and then never spend time with them ever again for 27 years, and then 27 years later be like, oh, we're as close as we ever were. No, you're not. You drifted. It's something you have to work on. So, Christian, why do we think that the Christian life is any different? Well, I got saved. Bless God. I was close to God, man. I served the Lord. And then you never read the Bible. You never pray. You're not trying to be a part of a community, a church, and things like that. You're going to drift away from God. It requires constant upkeep, right? Just like everything else in life does. Now, let me say this before we go on. If you feel like I've kind of been batting you down, making you feel terrible, and you're like, oh, I feel like a piece of garbage right now, Pastor Kurt. Thank you for that, because I haven't been living for the Lord. Let me just tell you something. What does that word say? Look again at verse 19. Look at verse 19. It says you were not redeemed with corruptible things, but what are you redeemed with? The precious blood of Christ. Amen? So let me encourage you today. If you have stepped so far away from the Lord that you can't, you're like, I don't even know how to get back. Let me just tell you that you are valuable because you are bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? If you take, you know, you've heard the old adage, you take a sports car that's like, you know, 60 years old or whatever. Why is it worth a lot? Because, you know, it's worth a lot. It doesn't matter what shape it's in. Amen? So I want to encourage you. If you step so far away from God, know that you've been bought with the precious blood of Christ. You are valuable to Him. He has a plan for your life, and He wants you to renew your commitment to Him. Amen? And then lastly, we see not only do we see the glory of grace, a testimony that's good, but we see the Word of God. Look at verse 23, please. It says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Now here's the thing, Christian. We need to look at the word of God. Verse 23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Now the first thing I want you to notice is that the word of God was inspired by God. That's your first blank there. It was inspired by God. You say, what does that mean? Well, that means it was God-breathed. That means, yes, human writers wrote down what they wrote down, but God told them what to write down. 2 Peter 1:21 gives us a good explanation. It says this, "For the prophecy," which is Scripture, "came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Scripture was inspired by God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." We're talking about the Word of God, Christian. The Word of God was inspired by God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says this, "For this cause I also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God." You see, it's not the word of man. I'm not preaching to you man's words. You say, well, it was written by men. Yes, it was, but they were moved by the Holy Ghost and they wrote down. It was inspired by God for them to write what they wrote. No other book out there has been proven over and over and over through archaeology, through prophecy, through all these things, and it's never been proven wrong. Anybody who says, oh, there's a bunch of contradictions in the Word of God. No, it's not. I can prove it to you. Bring contradictions and I can show you how it's not a contradiction. It's only contradictions in the Bible if you're not taking it in context. Okay? What that means is, who's speaking? Who are they speaking to? And what do they mean by what they're saying? I'll give you a quick example. In the book of Job, if you've never heard of that, that was a man who lived for God and the devil came in and just attacked him. Okay? All these bad things were happening. And his wife said, Job, you should just curse God and die. Now, it was written in the Word of God because she said it. But is that an instruction for you and I to do today? No. So some people might say that's a contradiction. Well, it says to curse God and die, but over here it says don't curse God. Yeah, you're not supposed to curse God. That was Job's wife who did it. It was recorded that she said it, but it's not an instruction for us to follow. Okay, now that's a simple example. I know there's more difficult ones. But my point is, I just want to give you a simple example to show you there's no contradictions in the Word of God, as long as you take it in context. Okay? Not only was it inspired by God, but it was preserved by God. It was preserved. What does that mean? Well, Psalms 12, 6 and 7 says this, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." What does that mean? That means that God, the creator of the universe, the one who breathed life into you and I, he gave his words that he wanted to have for Paul to write. That same God was also powerful enough to preserve his very words for us today in 2022. Amen? He inspired his word. And he preserved it for us so we could have it. What good would it do if God gave his word and then it was lost and it was never to be found? What good would that do? Well, yeah, God has some words out there. Well, what are they? I have no idea. Well, where is it at? Well, I don't know. It's right somewhere. Actually, I think it's gone. What good would that do? It wouldn't do you any good. Matthew 5:18, Jesus says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." One more time, Jesus says this in Matthew 4:4. He says, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Christian, we need to understand, this is the word of God, not the word of man. And when you grasp that concept, you'll be a whole lot more likely to listen to what it says, to obey its commands and precepts, and live for God. Amen? And then lastly, it's not only inspired by God, preserved by God, but the message of the Word of God. What do I mean by that? Well, you see, we have so many controversial topics in our society today. And I don't have time to get into all those. I don't shy away from those things. I'm not purposely trying to make anybody mad, but I'm not going to shy away from those. I just don't have time to get into specific things right now. That's for a different message. We can cover specific topics. But just to give a short example, obviously abortion has been in the headlines in the news as of late. If you go by the message of the Word of God, there's no debate on abortion. I'm not trying to make anybody mad. I'm just trying to tell you that if you go, well, you're a Republican. No, no, I'm saying the Bible says that God is the giver of life. If God is the giver of life, you and I don't have right to take life unless they've been, you know, unless they killed somebody, okay? That's a different subject, right? But God, if we go by the Word of God, there's no debate. There's no debate. What about, you know, the transgender debate, right? Well, the Bible says God made male and female, created he them, right? God made male. God made female. I'm not trying to make him by mouth. I'm just saying if we go by the message of the Word of God, there's no debate. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to make him by mad. I'm just saying if you go by the Word of God, you understand God created you to be who you are. God made you a man. He made you to be a man. If God made you a woman, he made you to be a woman. So quit arguing with God and take the message of the Word of God. It's not man's word. It's not my word. Oh, man, I hate it. When people say, oh, a bunch of men should... It's God's word. It's God's word. Amen. Why else should we listen to the message of the word? Because it tells us of salvation. Amen. It tells us of salvation. How you can go to heaven when you die. The message of the word of God. So in closing, I know I just hit a whole bunch of topics there quickly. We can go into depth later at a different time. But today, let's close it out with this. We read from Peter here. The glory of grace. Christian, never get tired of the grace of God. Amen. We read about a testimony that's good. Christian, if you're saved, live like it. At least try. Nobody's asking you to be perfect, but at least try. And then you need to understand it's the word of God, not the word of man, not the word of me, not the word of you. It's the word of God. That's why it has authority, and that's why we should obey it. Amen. Let's pray.